Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in, locked in, listening all over North America. I hope you're absolutely amazing. It's Tuesday, October 7th. The year is 2025. That's what it's been all day long. I'm going to hang out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when we get started, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I told you it was going to be a day. I knew that from last night when we left, okay? LeBron James has made his decision known. He's going with Hennessy. Congratulations to him. He's not retiring. Joe Flacco, close to retirement. Well, he's been traded. Who would have thought somebody wants an old, washed-up man who throws interceptions? The Cincinnati Bengals do. Joe Burrow moved from the Browns to the Bengals. He's staying in Ohio. Good for him. Deion Sanders has some thoughts about this. Maybe not. Deion also underwent a medical procedure today due to the clots in his leg. Earlier today, we found out about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Apparently, he was interested in the New York Knicks over the summer. Has that changed? Who knows? Jacksonville Jaguars, after we left the studio last night, they held on. They came back. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs 31-28. Yeah, the Jags are looking like a decent football team. It's early. I know. J.P. Shadrick is going to join us. He covers the Jags, covers all things football on Westwood One. He'll come through and have a chat with us about the Jaguars. Speaking of a competent-looking football team, Bill Belichick's North Carolina Tar Heels, well, they continue to just look bad, even after losing to Clemson over the weekend. Mark Sanchez, things just get worse. That truck driver that he tried to beat up, he's not just suing Mark Sanchez, he's suing Fox. Jerry Jones is in trouble for flipping a bird. He said he accidentally gave the middle finger to Jet fans. Oh, yeah, sure. Taylor Swift, she explains why she's not doing Super Bowl halftime. Conor McGregor has been suspended for not taking drug tests. Odell Beckham Jr., yeah, he's suspended. He's not even on a team. Apparently, his testosterone was too high. Join the club, OBJ. Join the club. Anyway, we got so much to get into. We'll get into Giannis and the Knicks. We got Jonathan Peterson joining us from 92.3 The Fan to talk about the Browns. And then we got baseball and hockey, sort of, a little bit. The NHL season has started. We got a triple header. They don't play no games. They're like, hey, we're going to schedule the first game in the afternoon. Right now, the defending Florida Panthers are beating the Blackhawks 2-1 at the end of the first period. And then I guess we got baseball, kind of, sort of. We know that we got a couple of teams with their backs up against the wall earlier today. Well, at least we wanted to see this one, Seattle and Detroit. Unfortunately, that had to do with a little bit of a delay. Rain in Detroit. Okay, the series is tied between Seattle and Detroit. One game apiece. It's really that simple. And, of course, later on tonight, in about 2 hours, the New York Yankees, they're going to try to stay alive. The Toronto Blue Jays are trying to eliminate them from the postseason and advance to the American League Championship Series. So we'll keep you up to date on everything going on in the world of sports. And then we're going to have some fun, too. I guess this is why the hell they have me here, is to be somewhat entertaining. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM. It's channel 375. You got a smart speaker. Be smart. Ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. There's so much to get into, so much to discuss. If you want to be a part of the show, you want to discuss something, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I am in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much as well to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. So much to get into. Let's get into the news that kind of, I guess it broke this afternoon. No, not LeBron. We'll get into LeBron and his fake decision, his advertisement. We'll get into that in a few minutes. Let's talk about the news. Joe Flacco, He's staying in Ohio, but he's no longer a member of the Browns. He's been moved to the Bengals. Yeah, the Bengals, who are just getting their asses whooped all over the place with no Joe Burrow. The Bengals, who are now 2-3. The Bengals, who had to throw Jake Browning out there, and in four games, the man has thrown 8 interceptions. Okay, I don't have to be a mathematician to understand that that's 2 interceptions a game. Damn it, and just losing to the Lions, he threw 3 interceptions. And I guess Zach Taylor, I guess the entire team, I guess they've had enough. They said we need a veteran in the building until we get Joe Flacco back. Or excuse me, not Joe Flacco. That's the last guy that they wanted. Until they get Joe Burrow back. Too many Joes on the Cincinnati Bengals. And so here it stands. Jake Browning, have a seat. It's now Joe Flacco's time to sign. See if Joe Flacco can get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. See if Joe Flacco can get the ball to T. Higgins. See if Joe Flacco, if he can slow down on the interceptions. Like, let's really think about this for a minute. One of the reasons that Joe Burrow has been beat to a pulp over the past few years is because his offensive line stinks, okay? We're expected to believe that putting Joe Flacco back there is going to be a better option than Joe Burrow. Of course it's not. He's supposed to be a better option than Jake Browning. I don't know. Joe Flacco's 40 years old. You know, I would think that Jake Browning could do a little bit more moving around than Joe Flacco. This is the equivalent of two ugly couples just swapping partners. Hey, Botch, you ever seen that show Wife Swap?
I've seen bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces.
Like there's a clip of a kid who tries to run away from his mother.
Yes. Yeah, Wife Swap. Yeah, imagine Wife Swap. You're just swapping two ugly wives, two ugly husbands. This is essentially what we've gotten today with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns saying, let's make a deal. Let's switch quarterbacks. And apparently, the Browns felt so comfortable following Dylan Gabriel's first start. They said, you know what? Why the hell not? Yeah, Shador moves on to being number two for now. Dylan Gabriel will get the next start. Dylan Gabriel, not too shabby against the Minnesota Vikings in the United Kingdom this past Sunday. 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Joe Flacco was told to have a seat because in 4 starts, he threw 6 interceptions. And so, yeah, I guess the Bengals are just trading interceptions from another arm. That's what's going to take place. Ironically, yesterday, in hilarious form, Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, after watching Jake Browning throw 3 interceptions in the loss on Sunday, he was asked, are we going to see Jake Browning again? Listen to his answer yesterday.
Do you see Jake starting on Sunday?
We'll see where it goes. You know, it's, I think, like all personnel decisions, we got to evaluate it. Jake's been very accountable for how the game went for him. I've got to be accountable for how the game went for me as well. And so we'll continue to progress here through the days.
Oh, we got to see where and how things go. Well, we see where things go. Jake Browning is going to be told to have a seat. Okay. Joe Flacco, well, he got benched, right, for Dylan Gabriel, and now he's being traded. Myles Garrett, who happens to be the best player on the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't know if he's out here calling plays or calling the shots. I don't think so. He's getting paid $40 million. Myles Garrett was asked, are we ever going to see Joe Flacco start again for the Browns? Listen to what Myles Garrett said.
I think so. No, just something different, no different flavor. Appreciate Joe for having his back, supporting him, coaching him through this transition. He'll be vital throughout this process, regardless of whoever we end up with, throughout the rest of the season. They got to lean on each other.
Yeah, well, not anymore. Joe Flacco is gone. Jake Browning, it takes a seat. And let's be real. The Cincinnati Bengals are still cooked this year. I'm sorry. We knew they were cooked with no Joe Burrow. What if they go 500 while he's gone? What if they can just stay afloat while he's gone? Of course, this reeks of desperation. How many times do you see two teams swapping quarterbacks at this juncture of the season in the same division? I'd venture to say rarely, if ever. This shows you how bad both teams are, both the Browns and the Bengals. You know how they say a one man's trash is another man's treasure? Well, when it comes to this, these guys had a yard sale of garbage. Come on now. I know you've been through one of them yard sales. You're like, what the heck has this guy been hoarding in his house? Who wants this junk? Up the other junkie guy from down the street. Here he comes. They're over here exchanging stories about where they got their trash from. Oh, yeah, man, this was up in my attic. And, you know, I figured I'd sell it. I didn't think anybody wanted it, but you want it? Yeah, I got some stuff in my attic, too. Do you want to take a look? Sure, yeah. You got to be down on your luck to look at Joe Flacco and say, that's my guy. Unfortunately, the Bengals are down on their luck. That offensive line is trash. Joe Burrow is once again rehabbing because of it. And Joe Flacco, hopefully this guy is not a sitting duck playing in Cincinnati. Good for him. He gets to continue on with his football career. But we know, damn it, every year, every game that Joe Flacco plays, it just might be his last. Okay, the Browns are now 1-4. And congratulations, not to Dylan Gabriel, forget him for a second. Congratulations to Shedeur Sanders. Because he has just, by default, he's moved up the depth chart. Okay, we got Dylan Gabriel here, Shedeur Sanders, and wait a minute. Deshaun Watson? Deshaun Watson is still on the team? You mean to tell me the guy who has the guaranteed contract, the guy who had the 26, give or take, cases of sexual assault, the guy with the worst contract in NFL, he is still on the team. He is. He's currently on the PUP list. There's a possibility that we see Deshaun Watson this season for the Browns. Don't close the door. Not yet, but before the season isn't over, we might see Deshaun Watson back out on the field. That would be hilarious. Now, I will say this. It was always a thought that from the minute the Cleveland Browns had four quarterbacks in training camp, okay, Deshaun Watson, yes, we know, Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Shedeur Sanders, there was always a thought that as they went throughout the course of the season, there was going to be a process of elimination to see ultimately who was going to get the most starts and snaps at the quarterback position. Joe Flacco was always going to be the starter, okay? 40-year-old veteran, been there, seen it all, been to a Super Bowl, just doesn't physically have it anymore. Got to let the veteran fall apart before you move on. Kenny Pickett was moved. He was traded to Las Vegas because of an injury. Boom, Kenny Pickett out the door. Dylan Gabriel moves up the depth chart. Joe Flacco out here throwing interceptions. Joe Flacco now traded. You're down to Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur. Shedeur is next up. Shout out to my main man, DJ Sturgis. When I was walking into the studio, he's like, hey, JR. He's like, what do you think? You think Shedeur? I said, yeah, Shedeur is going to get a start. Of course he is. And it may not just be because Dylan Gabriel stinks. I mean, he did a decent job this Sunday in the UK. Okay, I told you about him going out there throwing two touchdowns and not turning the football over. It was obviously enough where the Browns felt comfortable. But I'll tell you this. I'm not fully comfortable with Dylan Gabriel and his size, okay? I think eventually he might get hit the wrong way and have to miss a play or a snap or two. I still believe that we will see Shedeur Sanders. I'd be surprised if we don't see him. And in true fashion, of course, his dad, the head coach of Colorado football, Deion Sanders, he spoke today on a variety of issues, primarily his health and also his son. He was asked about Shedeur moving on up the depth chart. And Deion Sanders gave a very Deion answer. Take a listen.
I got that text during practice.
I was just wondering what your reaction
care.
Is.
I don't give a damn about the Browns at all. I care about the Colorado Buffaloes. I do love me some Shedeur Sanders, don't believe that. I care about him. The rest of that mess, I don't, okay? I'm a coach trying to win just like they're trying to win games, but I could care less of who they traded. I'm pretty sure Pac is going to get on his podcast and do what he does and break it down to you and for you.
No, yeah, is he being honest or is he just being deflecting? You know, he has opinions about the Browns. He has opinions about what they do. I mean, he had an opinion about the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? He had an opinion on what the Jags were doing with Travis Hunter. Why would all of a sudden Deion Sanders not have an opinion about his son Shador and what he's doing with the Browns? How the Browns are utilizing him? What Joe Flacco moves, what him being moved, what that means for his son. Of course he has an opinion. He just didn't want to share it. And he said, well, we all know, yeah, I'm interested in Shador. It's his son. Why the hell not? His son will get that opportunity and that chance. Meanwhile, you know, Deion did say he's worried about his Colorado Buffaloes. For Deion Sanders, Colorado's 2-4. I mean, it feels like the entire season they've been trying to figure out their quarterback situation following the departure of Shador Sanders into the NFL. But this past Saturday, as Colorado was out there losing to TCU, Deion couldn't stand up. He had some trouble moving around. He had to sit down. They were asking him about it after the game. And he's like, yeah, my legs suck. You see that? We all know about the blood clots that he's had in his leg. We know about the procedures. We know about the amputation of his toes and his feet. Damn it, the guy just survived bladder cancer earlier this year. Deion has been going through it. And credit to him for still showing up and being accountable to the young men who he asked to come in. Can't be easy for Deion. He did talk to the media today and said, yeah, by the way, I'm having a procedure done today to alleviate the pain in my legs and try to fix these damn clots.
I'm having a procedure today. Prayerfully, I'll be right back tomorrow because I don't miss practice. I don't plan on doing such. But it is what it is. And we found what we found. We knew what it was. So, and it's not like I'm doing something. I got a lot of well wishes of people talking about, you need to slow down. You need to, you know, if they could break it. It has nothing to do with me working in the level that I'm trying to compete at. It's hereditary. It is what it is. It's nothing that I could have done.
Well, at least he had a procedure today. Hopefully he is better. You realistically would think with all of his issues, his health issues, I told you about his legs. We talked about the cancer. His son is now gone. I mean, outside of just taking money from Colorado and loving football, you would think that maybe he could find a possibility getting some cash elsewhere, maybe back on television. Who knows? I don't think Deion is going to lose money in the current climate of sports media. One thing that he is excited about, well, I don't know if he's excited. He's ready for that gas.
I mean, I can't wait to get that Snoop Dogg. I call it that Snoop D-O-double-G. Because, I've never been high a day in my life. I never drank, smoked anything. But when I get those surgeries, I am there on time. Woo, thank you, Lord.
All right, he wants a little bit of knockout gas. So all the best to Deion Sanders and his health issues. I mean, the more time goes on, I'm just like, how long is he going to be out here coaching Colorado? So good luck to him and his health issues. Congratulations, I guess, to Shador Sanders. He has now moved up the depth chart for now, the number two quarterback in Cleveland for now. And then, I guess, Dylan Gabriel, looks like it's your job to lose. There's so much going on. Joe Flacco, career still moving on. You get benched and then you get traded. Yeah, let's see how many starts he gets before Joe Burrow comes back and gets annihilated again. So much to do, so much to discuss. We are just getting started. Hey, how about this? Next hour, we're going to have a conversation with Jonathan Peterson from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Let's get his thoughts on what the heck is going on with the Browns quarterback situation, the faith in Dylan Gabriel. When could we expect to see Shador Sanders? A lot of questions going on in Cleveland. Hey, we got the game underway. Bottom of the third inning. Rain, go away. Detroit and Seattle, nothing. There's no scores here to open up Game 3. Whoever wins this game is going to take a 2-1 series lead in this ALDS matchup. We'll get into the Yankees in Toronto. We'll talk about Giannis. And you know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, forget Giannis. Let's get into LeBron James. Because earlier today, he told everybody that he was going to make a decision. This is his second decision. I'm sure you've heard about it already. He ain't going anywhere. He's not retiring. Looks like he's just serving up a few drinks. I'll explain on the other side. We're just getting started. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we learned about Joe Flacco being moved from the Cleveland Browns to the Cincinnati Bengals. Talked about that. There's another big deal out of Cleveland, Ohio, who had a big announcement to make today. Unfortunately, it was underwhelming. It was what a lot of people thought it might be. Yesterday, LeBron James, NBA's all-time leading scorer, entering into his 23rd season, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. You got a lot of people who will argue that he is the greatest. I still take Michael Jordan. I think LeBron James has had probably the most decorated career when it comes to longevity, but I'm still taking Michael Jordan. Anyway, LeBron James put a post up yesterday, and he let everybody know that tomorrow, which would have been today, at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, that he'd be making the second big decision of his career. If we go back to 2010, the first and only major decision that LeBron James made was to sit down at the Boys and Girls Club in Connecticut. God bless them. They got a check. Shout out to the Boys and Girls Club. Love y'all. LeBron James sat there across from Jim Gray, and he told everybody that he was taking his talents from Cleveland, Ohio, and taking them to South Beach to join the Miami Heat. Of course, he was beat up for that. The city of Cleveland, where he's from, and Akron beat him up. The owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers beat him up, Dan Gilbert. He got beat up until he went back and won a championship. And so what the heck could this decision be? Was he going to retire today? Was he going to announce that this would be his final season with the Los Angeles Lakers in the NBA? Or was this going to be some marketing ploy? Those are really the options. It was A or B. Well, LeBron James ended up letting everybody know his decision had nothing to do with the end of his career. But take a listen to this.
Well, everyone's on pins and needles across the country. You ready to go, LeBron? Where's the powder?
Left it at home.
LeBron, fans want to know where you're taking your talents this year. What's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is tough. In this fall, I'm going to be taking my talents to Hennessy VSOP.
VSOP? And this was the conclusion you woke up with this morning?
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Yeah, there you have it. LeBron James is selling Hennessy. And good for him and good for Hennessy. I mean, look at all the free marketing and promotion they just got. Hennessy just got a free ad here on the Infinity Sports Network coast to coast. This is absolutely genius. Was it a troll job? Yes, absolutely. It was a troll job. This is the intent. This was the full intent of the advertisement. It's called, you got to either pay for the media or it's earned or it's free. Come on, man. If you're LeBron James, you got the clout. You got everybody on pins and needles. What is he going to say? What is he going to do? And this is the decision that you get? Hey, a couple people not happy about it. I'm sure a few people aren't happy. And people on standby to give coverage to whatever the heck LeBron was going to do or not do. And we ended up being duped. And we all knew it was a possibility. But I'll tell you this. Whenever LeBron James does decide to hang it up, we're going to get a heads up. I think unless he's going to fall off of a cliff and deal with some major injury this year, this would lead me to believe that he is probably going to play one more season after this one. I'm like, damn, bro, you are not tired of basketball? I don't know. Maybe LeBron James wants to be the first guy in NBA history to play 25 years. I have no idea what he wants. What is there left for him to do besides pick up another title, right? All-time leading scorer, all-time leader in minutes, four-time MVP, four-time champ, three-time gold medalist when it comes to the Olympics, heading into his 23rd season. This guy's probably played another 3.5-4 seasons just in postseason basketball. What else is there for him to do besides end up with another title? I don't think it's going to happen this season with the Los Angeles Lakers. We got into this a little yesterday. Where's the depth? Who's coming off the bench for the Lakers? They added DeAndre Ayton. They have Marcus Smart. Been playing the past few years, just injured all over the NBA. Luka Doncic, God bless him, he lost weight. He's in shape finally. Let's see if his body can last. Where is the depth for the Lakers? LeBron James, well, knows how to make some money. His decision was he likes Hennessy. Good. I know J.R. Smith likes Hennessy too. Apparently not. It was all a ruse. Anyway, Botcher, you're not happy about this, huh?
This is just annoying at this point. Just because we knew LeBron had a Hennessy sponsorship already, where like there was a meme going around like with his face on the bottle, everyone was like drinking it. But other than that, it's just more people were promoting Amazon than Hennessy with this announcement. So I get it. It brings attention to your brand. But to do this now, it's just a really, really bad joke. But it got the attention of people.
Well, it served its purpose. But here's the reality. Is anybody going to care? Does anybody care, really? Like, it's now, I don't know, 6-7 hours after the fact. They said it was going to be announced at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. It was revealed like an hour before that. It's like, yeah, I guess it's noon somewhere. But is anybody really hurt? Is there a fan? Is there a player? Is there a brand? Is anybody really ticked off?
There is. Because I don't know if you saw this, but the ticket prices for the last Lakers home game this season, I think, jumped from $80 to, I think, close to $500.
Right.
So all the fans who panic bought the last ticket kind of got screwed over here. Basically, they paid an enormous amount of money for no reason, just for a regular season game, where LeBron probably won't be playing.
Bruh. Isn't that the case of buyer beware? Come on now.
I know, but at the same time,
whose fault is that?
It's the buyer, but they are mad now because of this announcement.
Oh, so get over it. That's their problem. I mean, anybody buying NBA tickets, I don't care if it was going to be LeBron James' last game. Or I don't know. It could be Cooper Flagg's first game. I mean, that's like buying a ticket and going, oh, my God, Anthony Davis is my favorite player. And you actually banking on Anthony Davis to go out there and be healthy enough to play. Like, if you're mad that you bought tickets to that what you thought was going to be LeBron James' final game, you should be mad at yourself, not him. Come on now, do a little bit better. I mean, yeah, I get it if you're kind of naive, but if you're that damn naive, who told you? Like, you're just buying tickets for your son and don't know something, and now you feel duped? Well, think about it and do better next time. I'm sorry. LeBron James out here making money. Buyer beware with these tickets, folks. Buyer beware. LeBron James ain't going anywhere. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. LeBron gave us a heads up yesterday that he'd be making this second big decision. We knew that was coming yesterday. Also, when we got out of the studio yesterday, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they did a thing. They went out there and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to talk about the Jags on the other side of the break. Are they real? Are they legitimate? And are the Chiefs, are they cooked? I'll give you my thoughts on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And right now it is time for a newsflash with Rich Ackerman.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We talked about LeBron James, his decision to go with Hennessy. We talked about the trade of Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals today, freeing Dylan Gabriel to be the starter, Shedeur Sanders for now to be the backup. You also just heard this in our news report from Rich Ackerman that the Baltimore Ravens have gone ahead and made a trade. They are moving on from pass rusher, who has zero sacks this year, Adolphe Owe, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. They're moving him over to the Chargers for safety, Alohi Gilman. Now, ultimately, we know the Baltimore Ravens have dealt with just a bunch of injuries just all over the place. You think about their pass rush. You think about their safeties. Today, they didn't just add Alohi Gilman. They've also brought in C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who basically just had a fit here to start his season. Only played three games with the Houston Texans before he basically said, I want out of here. So I wonder how long he's going to last with the Baltimore Ravens. Let's see how that works, especially knowing at this point in time there is no Lamar Jackson. So the Ravens are just throwing stuff at the wall right now to see if it sticks. I don't know if it's ultimately going to net them anything. You think about some of the injuries to Kyle Van Noy, Kyle Hamilton. I can go on and on and on. They just said, let's save some money by trading one guy for another, and they're just trying to survive this season. A team that's not surviving, actually doing good right now. Congratulations to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Okay, last night they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 31-28. When we left the studio yesterday at the conclusion of this show, it looked like it might be a good one. Looked like the Chiefs were on their way. Patrick Mahomes then threw a pick six that basically went the length of the football field. They tied the game back up. It was a back and forth. And then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars with the ball. And then we had to watch Trevor Lawrence stumble and fumble a couple of times until he kind of toughed his way into the end zone. And so the Jaguars are 4-1. They have snapped their 8-game losing streak against the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes has his first loss against this team. He's now 5-1 against the Jags, still not too shabby. And unfortunately for the Kansas City Chiefs, they fall to 2-3. If they had won yesterday, the Chiefs would have had an opportunity to tie for the division lead in the AFC West. Not a good way to finish up the game. Andy Reid says, when you lose to a team like the Jags, yeah, they're better. You got to learn.
As much as these losses hurt, there's and the wins, there's always good and bad in each. Things you can learn from and move forward with. We've got to make sure we do that.
You got to look, make sure you do that. Well, I mean, what the Chiefs need right now is better players, but they can't just manufacture those out of nowhere. And maybe they're one of their players, their best wide receiver, Rashee Rice, is still out due to suspension. Xavier Worthy is still dealing with his own injuries. Patrick Mahomes is having to go out there and throw the ball to Thornton, who was 90 yards receiving yesterday, and old man Travis Kelce, who did account for his one touchdown of the day. Patrick Mahomes throwing for 318 yards. He had a rushing touchdown. He led the team with 60 rushing yards. Patrick Mahomes is having to do it all. I did tell you about his little bit of a miscue. Patrick Mahomes on a 99-yard pick six that could have extended the lead. It allowed the Jacksonville Jaguars to get back in the game.
I saw the look, and I checked to the play with the in routes, having three ends, knowing that they're going to try to pass off the guys, and Juju was going to pop wide open, and he did. But the credit to – I mean, they schemed themselves, and they kind of looked over what they could do better, and he popped right underneath where I was throwing the ball. And so it was a great call by them.
Yeah, but what about all these damn mistakes, Patrick? Like you throwing a pick six. Y'all are beating yourselves, no?
I feel like we have the guys, and we've executed at certain points of game and looked really good, and then we crush ourselves with penalties and mistakes and interceptions and fumbles or whatever that is. I mean, it's just we've kind of done that to ourselves all year long. It's kind of been one guy here or there, and in this league it's so close that those change games.
Ooh, 13 penalties yesterday. 13 penalties committed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ouch. Ouch. You ain't going to win doing that. 13 penalties? Ooh. Anyway, let's talk about the winning team. Hey, you know what? I told you about that big play. Trevor Lawrence rushing in, tripping, falling, can't get up. He then got up. 1 yard touchdown, 23 seconds remaining. Let's take a listen to that call, courtesy of Westwood One.
First and goal at the Kansas City One. Under center is Lawrence. The snap. Oh, he fell down as he pulled away. Hits the deck. Gets back up. Breaks the tackle. 5. Running in. Touchdown. Touchdown. Jacksonville touchdown.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, he helped give the Chiefs a lead, 28-24. It's about a minute 45 left. And then they got the ball back. The Jaguars did. We saw them take the lead and called it a day. Now, it was kind of beyond me. Trevor Lawrence just kept on falling and falling and falling. And there wasn't one damn Kansas City Chief that could put a paw on him. Nobody could get him so he could be called down. It was kind of nuts. Chris Jones was asked about this after the game. Like, nobody could hit Trevor Lawrence?
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. But, yeah, I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish.
Well, Trevor, how do you feel, man? You the guy who kept on falling and falling and falling. What was going through your brain, man? You surprised?
I mean, I'm just panic, honestly, because I was trying to get up to get the ball out of my hands. So the clock, I mean, we didn't have any timeouts. I was really going to just stand up and, like, launch it out of the back of the end zone. But then I had a little bit of a lane, so I took it and, you know, scored from there.
He passed for 221 yards. Had one touchdown, Evan Engram. Had one interception, and should have been called an interception, more like pass interference that did not get called. And he rushed for two touchdowns and 54 yards. Like, Trevor Lawrence didn't just look like some guy out there standing in the pocket just trying to throw the ball downfield. He actually looked like a football player. He didn't look like some dude out there trying to be too cute, trying to be fancy. Like, Trevor Lawrence, in order to get this win, he got a little dirty yesterday. Got his jersey messed up. Look, he got knocked around. He's pretty hyped about the entire thing. His head coach, Liam Cohen, first-year head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars, he appreciates what he's gotten from his starting quarterback. Listen to this.
Yeah, it's a goofy finish, but what a tough moment for him to be able to say, like, he wasn't going to lose. And that's kind of really what it comes down to. He wasn't going to lose, and he made an unbelievable individual effort that hopefully can continue to springboard us.
Well, isn't the whole team kind of like this now? Let's think about this. Jacksonville Jaguars are still a baby of a franchise, okay? Just a little over 25 years old. I remember they had Boselli out there, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, we got an expansion franchise that all of a sudden is doing well. Well, it seems like they haven't been all that good since they popped onto the scene. They've been pretty embarrassing. And so a 4-1 start this year for the Jaguars is one of their best starts in franchise history. Liam Cohen, I guess things are working out. Hey, you ain't winning nothing if you don't have a quarterback. And ultimately, you think about the takeaways. They added another takeaway yesterday to Patrick Mahomes with that pick six, leading the NFL now with 14 of them. Liam Cohen is happy about his team's never quit, never die attitude.
Really, that's the theme, I think, and that was what we talked about as a team. Although we would like to make things very interesting, and it wasn't perfect by any means, but the resiliency is really what I think this team has and has continued to show.
Yeah, come on now. We got enough teams out here. First sign of adversity, they're quitting. They're done. Botcher, go ahead. Name a loser-ass team that is quick to give up.
Jets.
Yeah, I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, it was like half a second.
Damn. You think they gave up already on the season?
100%. I think there's maybe three people on the team that haven't given up.
Every man for himself at this point, right?
They're playing for new deals. That's about it.
Yeah, that's it. People are thinking about their money and their contracts. Absolutely. Jacksonville Jaguars not in that conversation for now. And I get it. These are still the Jaguars. Next up for them, they got the Seattle Seahawks, who just lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 38-35. Don't ask me how the Bucs keep winning all these close games. They're giving their fans all the heart attacks in the world. And the Jaguars, this is a good look for them. You start thinking about the Jacksonville Jaguars. 4-1 start. You think about where they currently stand in their division, they realistically might go back to the playoffs. Now, the last time we saw them in the playoffs, let's see, too many turnovers and blown leads and a historic collapse. Things might be different for Jacksonville this go-round. They're playing top-tier defense. Trevor Lawrence looks like a football player, not some cosplaying model trying to play football. This is good for them in the AFC South. I mean, eventually, I don't know, is Daniel Jones going to come back to earth? It's a two-team race right now. We know the Tennessee Titans aren't doing a damn thing. They might as well not exist. The Houston Texans, they're trying to turn things around. They have a record right now of 2-3. I would not completely bury them. And the Colts, just things seem too good to be true. This division may come down to the wire. But it's a good thing that for the first time in a long time, the Jacksonville Jaguars and their fans, at least possibly, they should have some hope. And the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. They might have a record of 2-3. They're still close here in the AFC West. And eventually the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to get back some reinforcements. You would eventually think that Xavier Worthy can eventually get some type of healthy. And then Rashee Rice ultimately is going to come back. Hopefully he's in shape. Hopefully his brain works. No more of that dumbass driving stuff. But the Chiefs, I think this might be the worst that they are this season. They have an opportunity to turn things around. I still think it's early. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, oh yeah, the damn game is not underway yet. They're getting ready for first pitch. It's cloudy. It's been raining. Seattle and Detroit. Okay, the series is tied at one game apiece. Who's going to take a lead? The New York Yankees, their backs are up against the wall. Last night, the Phillies got their backs against the wall. The Cubs are up against the wall. We got a lot of teams close to elimination. I'm going to give you an update on the other side of the break. Jonathan Peterson is going to join us next hour as well to talk about the Browns and moving on from Flacco. What does this mean for Shedeur Sanders and Gabriel? We got a lot to do. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.